Ronnie and Martin. Thank you for filling in. I'm sure it's very more interesting than what I'm going to discuss. We have a little bit of time now, like one of these in-between times when we're not coming up to a chag. The next one is Tu Bishvat. There isn't that much to say about Tu Bishvat. We might look at it maybe a week before Tu Bishvat. But I came across something, we've done this before, to look at, we spoke last time about Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, about the various hakpodas that he had. We spoke about the giving certain names. That was the last thing that we discussed. I came across something which you're going to have to bear with me. At the beginning, it's going to sound very strange. And as I learn the extra se'ifim, it becomes even more curious. And then when we start learning the meforshim on it, then we start to understand what Rabbi Yehuda Chosid had in mind and whether it's nagea to us. Okay?
What number?
For the moment, it's a mystery.
What number?
Well, we're in Shmiras HaGufa Nefesh, Chelik Beis, Simon Reish Zayin, which is Benias Bayis Shalavonim, building a house out of stone. And he says as follows. This is a quote from the from Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. It says, L'yivne odom bayis shalavonim. A man should not build a house out of stone. Ela yikne. He can buy a house that's already there, which is already standing, even though it's built of stone, but he can't build fresh a house from stone. Ve'im bono, and he says, and if he did build it, he didn't know, and then somebody came along and told him that there is a hakpoda not to build a house of stone. Yeah, again, we have to discuss why stone, and what about other materials, and whether it's talking about Eretz Yisrael, whether it's talking about Chutz Laaretz, and whether or not it's a site where there was previously a house or there wasn't previously a house, it was an open virgin site. All these things will come up in the discussion. But at the moment, we're just learning what the words that he says. He says, "Vim bono lo yido bo yomim." He says, and if he did build such a house, he should not live there. Ki hu oy bonov yomusu, he says. Because Rachman al Etzlan, there'll be very serious bad consequences. Ela yim kerenu. If he built a house of Avonim, and then somebody explained to him that you're not supposed to build a house of Avonim, al pi Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, for whatever the reason will be that we will explain, he should get rid of that house in order that he should avoid chas v'shalom serious consequences. V'shal eitz sofik. And if you're going to build a house of wood, as they do in the whole of New York, yeah, in America, they build houses out of wood, then it becomes a sofik. And again, what do you do about the sofik? All that will be discussed.
What's wrong with building a house?
What's wrong with building a house? It doesn't say there's anything wrong with building a house. There's a building a house of avonim.
But if there's a sofik on wood, it starts to add up.
Yeah. Fair enough. We're going to explain everything, right? But before that, we're going to learn some...
Answer on that, if you're interested.
Yeah?
Because from a lemon, it's only said that if you build a house of stone, Chutz Laaretz, that means you're settled in Chutz Laaretz.
Yes.
Not interested in
yes,
well.
Yes. Yes, that is one of the what's called, yeah? That one of the reasons that's brought down, okay, Ronnie's what's called, this is in the Mephoshim at the bottom, is that it's a sense of permanence, right? I'm building a house in Chutz Laaretz means that I'm planning to stay here. Right. In which case, for instance, if you build a shul out of stone, should be okay because it says that asid botik nesias botik vidoshas to move to Eretz Yisrael. So in that case, logically, if that's the reason for the issa of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid of building a house of avonim, then maybe shuls doesn't apply to all these things. We will discuss in Yad Hashem in the coming days.
Start to the Torah in Northwest London Sunday. Test for TVs, 4th of January. Rina Rav, Rub Binyamin, Kurza, Shlita, Sne, Sinai, and the Grand Plan. This week's Torah is sponsored by family Reuben Weiniger, Linishmas, Sora Bas Noya, Aleha Sholem, Ziyad of Kaf Alef Teves, Linishmas, our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Dov Ben, Rub Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zichron Olev Rochel.
Jump straight in. Okay, good morning everybody.
Morning.
And I say, so I never done this before, I don't know what the usual style is. Is there a usual style?
Yeah, always good.
Sure. Always good? Okay, now we sit down, we can hopefully do. Oh, do we ever have people, I mean, if we give out commotion for people to follow along, is that helpful, not helpful?
Yeah, if we need psukim, yeah.
Yeah, right, so we're going to look at 7 psukim. I'm sure people have seen this psukim before.
I thought it was.
So it might be nice to, always nice to look inside, I think.
Thank you, Rabbi Roni.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll turn to Perek Gimel. As soon as you get there. Paragimel, Shmois Paragimel. We'll do a parsha. We'll do a little bit of parsha today. We already jumped. So Shmois, of course, is a massive turning point now, right? We finished Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Shmois is really a Sefer Ha'Geula. Is going to lead us into Mitzrayim. And out of Mitzrayim, we're sort of there in a certain sense, but the beginning of Shmos also sort of set the scene for how we ended up in the real Golos, right? The end of Vayichi, we weren't quite there yet. The family was actually seems to be doing very well. Yosef is the very significant figure there, and now things go from bad to worse. The first couple of prokim of well, really just the first couple of psukim of Shmos already tell us that. Vayamos Melech Mitzrayim, and we know there was a new king, and everything went from bad to worse, etc., etc. No, now we're in Perek Gimel, so we're skipping the first couple of prokim, okay? All the background to Moshe and his birth and all of those sorts of parts. Perek Gimel is, I think, another pivotal point, very, very important to appreciate, and really just the first seven psukim, but I think there's a lot that we can hopefully find, and particularly some beautiful ideas for ourselves. Within these psukim, where to begin? All right, let's begin with the psukim themselves, and then maybe we'll discuss them once we look at them. So I want to just see, Perek Gimel, it's on page 155, if that's helpful for anybody. Moshe haya roya es tzoin Yisrael chosno kohen midyon. So Moshe was this shepherd. We've met shepherds before. In fact, in Parshas va, what was it? Right at the end, I think it was Vayigash. I think it was in Vayigash when Yosef tells his brother. It was, of course, Vayigash, where Yosef tells his brothers that they should, in fact, specifically say to Paro that they are shepherds. So, okay, important to note that Moshe is a shepherd. Maybe we'll also discuss that a little bit further in just a moment. But also, he's a shepherd for Yisro, for his father-in-law. So again, we skipped all that part where he's run away to Midian, and now that's what he's doing over here. So what was he doing? Vayinhag es hatzoin achar hamidbar. He was taking them out into the desert to feed these sheep. Why is he taking them out into the desert? Everybody remembers the reason taking them out into the desert is because he was also... Correct. Yeah, he was also makpid, like Avraham, right? Like as we've seen throughout, very, very careful not to use pastures that didn't belong to him. So he goes out of the way to find something.
Nothing grows in the middle.
Sorry?
Nothing grows in the
middle. Okay, but he was able to find. Something. Yeah. What? That's the point. He has to find something. So he goes over there. Vayavoy el har ho'elokim choyreva. So he comes to this mountain choyrev. Okay. Now. What mountain is this? Right, what mountain is this? So Rashi tells us that it's Har Sinai. Okay, Har Sinai. Now we wouldn't need Rashi to tell us this per se, because the pasuk already says pretty beferish, right? Chorev is the same words, the same place that's referred to later on, so we know it's Har Sinai, so that's very good. But just interestingly, we're going to see something else, so we're going to sort of really drill home the importance of connecting this to Har Sinai. I think that's the real thing that I want to get out of these seven psukim, is to appreciate the connection between this episode and Har Sinai, which will come later on. We spend loads and loads and loads of time talking about Parshas Yisro, talking about Matan Torah, talking about all of those things, but we never talk about it over here at this point, and I think it's important to understand its importance and its significance to before Yetzias Mitzrayim as much as it is to after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's really what I want to try and achieve today, to try and see that. So we see that, we know that it's Har Sinai. Also, interestingly, I like these sorts of things. Maybe everybody else thinks it's a waste of time, but just interestingly, I think that the only time, this is one of the only times, any other times, feel free to correct me, but so far as I can remember, Sene, which we'll see in just a moment, and Sinai are more or less the only times where we find those connections, the Sin and the Nun coming together. So we see another connection between the two, right? We're going to meet this bush in just a moment, the lowly Sene, this thorn bush. But it's very unusual to have words that center around that Sin Nun connection. Sorry, Samach Nun connection.
Yeah. Since Moshe was in Midian,
yes.
How can it be Har-Sinai?
He's gone out. I don't know how far away is one from the other. Yeah, he's gone further away.
Says it's
Chorev. Chorev is Sinai is also referred to as Chorev. And again, Har Elokim is also an unusual phrase to see. Okay, we'll also have to when we get through the Pesukim, we'll also talk about the difference between Har Sinai and Har Abayis, which is the mountain that we've seen throughout Bereishis. It's in Har Abayis a few times already throughout Bereishis, right? So we've already sort of encountered another mountain that seems to be significant. When it was Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it was important that they were on a different mountain, right? For them, they were on Har Moriah. They were on what would become Har Abayis. But over here, he's not on Har Abayis. So why is there a difference, right? Why is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov end up on one mountain? Moshe's ending up on another mountain. What exactly is the significance? Okay, so we'll get to that in just a moment. Pasuk Beis. Vayero malach Hashem elov belabas esh mitzayich hasna. Again, famous story that this voice, this angel, well, not the voice yet, but the angel appeared from within this snare, from within this lowly bush, vayar vehinei hasne boer boesh vahasne einenu ukal. So this snare was burning, but it was not being consumed. Right, of course, very very famous about this, and something else important which we're going to note from this. By the way, once upon a time, this was used as a proof, as a raya, for a very interesting area of halacha. That's sort of fallen away a little. The way we approach it has fallen away a little bit. Then, you know, the Eglei Tal, Tzachat Shava, used this as a raya with regards to electricity, right? To discuss whether electricity was problematic and whether whether there was fire inside the wires or not. That, again, is something that scientifically we don't really... we know it's not really the case anymore, but in the initial discussions about electricity, a lot of it was to do with fire, and certainly the filament bulbs, which was early, very important use of electricity, were made of fire. So one of the proofs was that you can have something that burns but is not consumed, and yet it's considered still to be sneh bo'er bo'esh. So the fact that it's bo'er bo'esh can still be considered esh, even though it is not necessarily being consumed. So others have sort of quibbled with that proof on both sides. Number one, to point out that over here it's a nace, right? So maybe that's not such a good proof. But also to point out that maybe the filament bulbs do get consumed, you just don't see how fast it gets consumed. Okay, very interesting discussions for another time when we learn Hilchos Shabbos. For now, let's bring ourselves back. So we see that this snare is burning, but it's not being consumed. Why was it the snare? Again, also famous that because it was this lowly bush, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Imo Anecha B'Tzara, something we'll also see later on much more clearly through these psukim. I want to try and finish them, and then maybe we'll discuss it. Okay, Vayom Roshe Asuro no Ve'er'er. Es hamareh hagadol. He's going to stop. He's going to look. Madua lo yivarho hasne. He's surprised. You know, he wants to stop to try and figure out what exactly is going on. Vayar Hashem kisar lirois. Hashem sees that he's been now sort of taken off his path to look at what's going on. Vayikor elav elokim mitoich hasne. Hashem calls out to him. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe vayomer hineini. So vayomer Moshe. We've had a few times where people are referred to by two names. This is the only time Chazal points out that Moshe, when it said Avram, Avram, there's a psik in between, there's a gap in between. Moshe, there's no gap in between. The Moshe Shalmata, the Moshe Shalmala, everybody has a sort of a heavenly image of their potential. Moshe in this moment was exactly where he could be. Now, it should be noted that although Moshe is at his, you know, his pinnacle
in this moment doesn't mean he's at his pinnacle in what he can achieve in the future. The Ramban points out, and we'll see it later on in just a moment. The Ramban points out that on this at this point Moshe is not allowed to come close. In the very next pasuk, we might as well read it now. The very next word, beginning pasuk Hey, Vayomer Al Tikrav Halom, the fact that he can't come close. The Ramban points out that at this point Moshe is not allowed to come closer, but the next time he's on Har Sinai, he does come all the way up. Right? Later on, everybody else is kept back on the mountain, but Moshe is allowed to go up. So we can see that Moshe grows from here to that point. At that point, he's going to be at a higher level, and yet still Chazal point out that his potential at this moment was exactly, he had managed to fulfill exactly what he needed to fulfill in that moment. Okay, Pasuk.
Okay. On a mountain.
Sorry?
This was at the bottom of the mountain, was there the top.
I don't know exactly how close or how far, but clearly there's a boundary that I got. If you were to show me the mountain, I don't know. I can't give you the exact coordinates, but it's clear that he is told to stop at a certain point. Whereas the next time he's at Har Sinai, this is what the Ramban says, and the next time he's at Har Sinai, he doesn't have to stop. Right? He's told to come all the way to wherever the point is. Right? Why is Hashem stopping him at a certain point? Because he's not ready. He's not ready to come quite that close. Okay, so he tells him also, Shal na alecho me'al raglecho, take off your shoes, ki amokim asher atoim made olov admas koideshu, where else do we take off our shoes, where else do people take off their shoes? So the Beis Hamikdash, famous place where people, the Kohanim were required to take off their shoes. Rav Hirsch, many others, talk about the importance of connecting, right, that when you take off your shoes, we also do, by the way, during Avelis, right, and the Tainus and things like that, you also take off your shoes for slightly different reasons, but you can find, sorry?
For leather and cleanliness.
Right, but again, the real halacha is that you're supposed to be connecting to the floor a little bit more. You're supposed to sort of connect yourself to the ground that you're on. And over here, the Ramban makes this point, I think it's the Ramban, connect this, again, more clearly to the Beis HaMikdash. The idea is that you're supposed to connect to the place where you are on a sort of a more internal level, right? You're supposed to sort of internalize where you are in that moment. And that's what he's... And that's exactly what the Pasuk says, right? Why are you taking off your shoes? Ki hamokem asher ato amid olov admas koideshu. This place is a special place. It's a holy place. And therefore, you're going to have to appreciate it in order for me to be able to continue the discussion, to continue the conversation that we're going to have from this point. Vayomer. Why they mention that? Let's think about that in just a moment. Moshe covered his face. He's worried, scared, awed to be able to look at Hashem. Vayomer Hashem. I have seen the affliction of my people, Asher Mitzrayim. The fact they're crying out. Shomati mipnei noigsov. Kiyodati es mach over. Okay, I know exactly what's going on. I know what's happening to them. I know that they're calling out to me, and that's where we're going to stop. From this point, the rest is also very famous, right? So, of course, the discussion where he tells him now he's preparing Moshe to go and get the people to go and save the people, to go and take them out, and Moshe's going to refuse, right? And we all know exactly what happens. Okay. Why is this so significant to me? So I think that these seven psukim really lay out for us one of the goals of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is it important to understand the goals of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So, firstly, what do we think is the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim?
Go to Eretz HaKodesh.
Okay, so Go to Eretz HaKodesh is clearly one of the goals. And in fact, that comes a little bit later on. Sorry, someone else was saying. Okay, Matan Torah. Matan Torah will come to in just a moment. That's the one I wanted to focus on. So I think it's clear that there are two goals, and perhaps we'll discuss briefly the difference between the two. So he is going to mention Eretz Yisrael in just a moment, and Hashem will talk about the fact that they're going to come to. The fact that he promised really to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The fact that they would have this land, yes, so it's clear that we're on our way to Eretz Yisrael, but the journey to Eretz Yisrael is not so straightforward. And not just the journey to Eretz Yisrael, but, you know, if you look at Jewish history and where we are now, our journey has also sort of moved us at times away from Eretz Yisrael.
both physically and you know, more significantly than that, in a certain ruchnius level, you know, whether we have Eretz Yisrael now to some extent, but we're still very far from it. You know, even if we were currently now sitting in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Yerushalayim, wherever else I might want to be, it might certainly be a bit warmer, hopefully, maybe not in Yerushalayim, but many other places would be very, very, a little bit warmer, very nice, and a little bit holier as well, but still, you know, even in Eretz Yisrael today, there's still a certain distance from the ideal Eretz Yisrael, as we all are unfortunately very, very well aware of, and so certainly Eretz Yisrael is a part of the goal. But here Har Sinai seems to be a part of what Hashem is telling Moshe is the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in addition to that, what I think is more interesting than that is the fact that Hashem wants to lay it out at this point. That Hashem needs Moshe to understand at this moment that there is a goal. Because, and you can see this in a few different places, you see this in a lot of, not a lot actually, not enough secular literature, but some of the other, there was a Holocaust survivor who talked about this. I've just forgotten his name for a moment, but he distinguishes between what he calls freedom from and freedom to. But you look around the world at all these movements that sort of talk about freedom, and they always use Yetzias Mitzrayim as their motto, right? And they always talk about, they always take the famous phrase, or they only take half the famous phrase. They always take the famous phrase, let my people go, right? Which our Torah says is Shlach Esami, but we know Shlach Esami is only half the phrase. Shlach Esami v'yavduni, right? So there's always a part afterwards. It's not just, let us go free, let us go free, let us go free. We want freedom, we want freedom, we're oppressed, etc., etc. At whatever point in history, whatever nation you choose, whatever group you choose, they're oppressed, they're finding it difficult, and all of a sudden, wow, Baruch Hashem, we're given freedom. What happens if they have freedom from, if they're running away from something but have no real goal to go to? So it doesn't end well, right? Again, you can take your pick and look at and study it, but at no point does it go very well if they don't have something to do afterwards. And so what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying is that it's all very well that we're going to give freedom to the Bnei Yisrael. It's all very well that we're going to take them out. Yes, very nice. But we need to have a goal. We need to know where we're going. We need to understand. We need to be able to set that. We need to be able to, I don't know if anybody else also found this, you know, you have this lovely holiday time and you get a little bit more freedom as well. You know, when you're running away, you say, oh, work is closed, and you close the office door and you, whatever it is, and everyone's off school, and you think, great, got freedom, 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 and it's wonderful for 5 minutes. But unless you know what you're going to do with that, then it just sort of disappears. And suddenly, you know, you're back and you think, well, what was the point of that? Where exactly did it go? So it's important to have this goal. And I think that's a key point, number one. Number two is that Har Sinai, and generally Yetzias Mitzrayim, is something that happened to Bnei Yisrael. Happened to Bnei Yisrael. Happened to us as a nation, and it's important we appreciate part of Har Sinai was Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, the fact that we came together, that we did it as a nation. But in addition to that, each of us as individuals also needs to experience and to recognize our own path through that Yetzias Mitzrayim, and not only to that, but through to that ultimate goal of Sinai as well. And so what Hashem is doing over here is beginning that journey with Moshe. Before you can really create a sense of that mission in the nation, Hashem has to begin that mission in an individual. And Moshe is representative of that. Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason we refer to him as Moshe Rabbeinu, is because he, as an individual, is the one, is that conduit who brings us the Torah, who brings us our connection to the Torah. And his ability to do that is very much as an individual. And our ability to connect to the Torah is something that I think that we can see within these psukim. Now, the Torah itself is referred to many, many times as an Eish, right? As an Eish. And we don't see, we see it a little bit at Har Sinai, but I think we see here more the meanings behind that, and the sort of the messages for us as individuals of what exactly does it mean that the Torah is an H. So one of the beautiful lessons that I think is crucial for us to appreciate is Hasne bo'er bo'esh, v'hasne einenu ukam. That, again, probably most of us have been learning, you know, connected to Torah a little bit long enough that maybe this is less of a worry for us. But certainly when you start people on the journey, they can be very concerned about what exactly my life is going to do to me. What exactly, it's a very, also a very modern idea nowadays, what, you know, my identity is going to be challenged in a sense, you know, if I'm told to go here and go there and I won't be able to do what I want and suddenly I have all these restrictions and all these things that I have to do and the Torah is telling me I have to get up at this time and do this and Shabbos and Kashrus and all these problems and what do you mean, it's going to sort of change who I am. So what the Torah is telling us is, yes, hasnebo erbo ish. Yes, the Torah is an ish. The Torah, there, fire is there to form, fire is there to reshape, fire is there to mold. But hasne einenu ukal, right? It's not going to be consumed. It doesn't destroy a person. It doesn't take away the essence. It doesn't take away what you are inside. Adraba, it builds that, right? It forms that. It helps that to grow and to become more than that. And actually, the more, the reason why it's a snare, we mentioned before the fact that that one of the reasons is, Rashi points out, that Hashem is recognizing in this moment that the people are suffering, and so Hashem, in a sense, is sort of living in this simple bush as well, to kivyochel, show that he is going through that suffering with them as well. And certainly, that's a beautiful idea. But one of the other reasons is to appreciate that this lowly bush, that we have to, and again, we find this idea in many other places as well, that we have to make ourselves as low as possible in order to internalize the Torah, in order for it to become meaningful for us. We have to, in a sense, get rid of ourselves. There's a tremendous irony when it comes to Torah, that the more that we try to insert ourselves into the picture, the more that we try and make ourselves a bigger part of the picture, the more that we try and sort of make it something that's about me and what I'm doing over here, the less we're able to actually make our way in, and the lower we become, right? Mash bil game, in a sense, right? Hashem sort of lowers those who are trying to bring more and more and more of themselves. But as Moshe, onov mikol adam, the more we take ourselves out of the picture, the more that we make ourselves like Moshe, the more that we're able to remove ourselves and to lower ourselves and to say that actually my little, you know, ideas and sort of, you know, personal perspectives might be, it's not that it's not important, but the you know, they pale in comparison to the Torah's perspective. We're always trying to recognize the Torah's perspective. The more that we're able to do that, ironically, helps us to grow. Ironically, helps us to become greater. Ironically, helps us to reach these tremendous levels. And we see that again from this connection, that in order to be able to go through Yetzias Mitzrayim and to come out the other side, in order to be able to go through these difficulties, these challenges, which, again, I certainly feel, not on the level of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but I certainly feel that, you know, you have through life all these little moments. We have to appreciate exactly what Moshe is recognizing right here, which is that going through these difficulties, number one, has to have a goal. Number two, has to be something which, as much as we feel like it's challenging us, as much as we feel like it's going to change us, is actually going to help us grow, is actually going to help us get better. But more than that, is something which is going to allow us to move beyond and to recognize, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in it, and to really begin to enable us to actually connect to the Rabbonu Shel Olam in a way that perhaps we weren't able to do before. I want to touch on just a couple of last things before we finish. So to come back to Pasuk Vov, as we mentioned before, we talked about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov being a part of this, and then I said I wanted to end comparing Har Elikim Choreva, Har Sinai, versus the Har HaMoria and Har HaBayis, on the other hand, and why we don't have it. Okay, so Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are obviously a key part of this picture. And in that sense, Hashem is sort of making them central to this discussion with Moshe Rabbeinu. But what he's also doing over here is, in a sense, moving it forward. So moving away, to some extent, from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and saying that this is it's not quite a different track, but the fact that they're almost like these two parallel ideas within our tradition. That we have this Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov who have set up for us already. Avram was always promised Eretz Yisrael, was always promised this, everything for Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and even beyond, even down to Yosef, always centered around Eretz Yisrael, always centered around this mountain, Har HaMoria, always centered around Har HaBayis. And certainly that is a crucial part of our tradition. And let me put it a different way. You know, when Yaakov is passing on his Masorah, when he's giving a bracha, any bracha that you find from one generation to the next in Sefer Bereishis is always about this land. It's always about this land. For me, it always struck me as odd, right? If I were to, you know, when you really get to it, if you're thinking about your children and you want to pass something on, so the most important thing that you're going to pass on to them is you know, my house, or you know, we used to have a family farm, and this is what we want to give over, right? Why is it the land that's so important? If you were going to say that there's one thing that when you're talking to your children, and these are not simple people, they're not you know, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're not people who are just there to pass on their wealth from one generation to the next. Why don't they talk about values? Why don't they say, well, okay, we now obviously kept the Torah. Why don't they talk about mitzvahs? Why don't they talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Say, I want you to, you know, my bracha to you is that you become Talmud Chacham. My bracha to you is that you become a great person. Why don't they say that? Right? Why is that not the bracha of Bereishis? The bracha of Bereishis always centers around there. It's Israel. And I think the real answer, go on.
Sorry, Hashem does promise Avraham that he'll make them a great nation. And I think it doesn't just mean the land.
Well, I don't think it just means the land, as I'll explain in just a moment. But it's interesting that every time you see from any generation, they're always passing on. Whenever Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, whenever they're talking and making this bracha, they always seem to be focusing on Eretz Yisrael, right? And as I said, the mountain that appears over and over and over again throughout Sefer Bereishis is always Har HaMoria, is always Har HaBayis. And the answer is that I think it's a little bit what you're saying, which is that there is an ultimate way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to be through Har HaBayis. It's always going to be through Eretz Yisrael. It's always going to be that. And that is implied. And that's true. And that's 100% true. So then what are we doing over here? What does this have to do with anything? So the answer is, again, it's poshut to an extent, but I don't think we always spell it out and necessarily fully articulate it in a way that we appreciate it fully. The answer is that most of Jewish history has not been in an Eretz Yisrael. Most of Jewish history has been through Golos. And you look at any other nation in the entire world who has ever been expelled from their land, has lost their identity, has lost their ability to connect, has lost their ability to continue to be that nation, because their entire identity was only through the land, was only through that particular space. And therefore, once the connection between the people and the space is broken, then it's gone forever. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting up here is an appreciation that you have to have both of these things, that you have to, in order to reach that ultimate goal of Har HaMoria, in order to reach that ultimate goal of Eretz Yisrael, of the Geula Shleima, we have to understand that there's something deeper going on over here. And that's why he starts with Sinai, that's why he starts with the Sneh, and that's why he starts with an individual. Because it's happening not, and I think maybe this is the most important thing that we take away from this actually. The difference between Har HaMoria and Har Sinai is that Har HaMoria is eternal. Har HaMoria, we know where it is. We know that we will go back there. And many times, it's, you know, it's mentioned, it's referenced, it's an enormous part, again, it's an enormous place of contention, unfortunately, you know, throughout history. And Har HaMoria is a mountain that is a physical place. Sinai and the snare, it's not they weren't physical places. In these moments, they were physical places. But where is Har Sinai now? Torah tells us that you won't know where it is. We don't know where Har Sinai is. Why don't we know where Har Sinai is? Because the whole point of Har Sinai is not to be limited to a place. The whole point of the snare over here is Hasneh Boer Boesh, Vasneh Inen Okal, is not about that bush. It's about what the fire that's burning inside Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's going to be about the fire that's burning inside each and every one of us. The whole point of Har Sinai is for us to appreciate that if we're going to manage to get through this Geula and reach the ultimate Geula, we have to focus on the fire that's going to be inside of us, that's going to keep us lit, that's going to keep us connected, going to keep us warm, and going to give us light through all of that darkness as we make our way to that Geula Shleima. And so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts over here, Lahavdil, Elav Alfei Avdolos, there's a great book that I'm sure many have read, and everybody likes to quote, called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, something, I think that's what it was called. He made all sorts of different versions of that, but one of the things that he refers to is One of his, I think, seven habits is he said, begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. And again, Havdil, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I think, is saying that that's exactly the idea over here. If we're going to get to the Geula Shlema, if we're going to get to Eretz Yisrael, if you're going to actually manage to achieve the Har HaMoriah, the bracha that we've had throughout Sefer Bereishis, if we're going to have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, if we're going to connect to that ultimate promise, to that ultimate Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, then we're going to have the additional promise of Moshe, the additional goal of Har Sinai, the additional goal of the snare, the sort of, that I wouldn't call it secondary, Chas V'Shalom, but again, to recognize that the Torah is a part of that Torah is going to be what's going to help us to survive all of those things. It's going to be within us at every moment, and it's going to be ultimately what we're aiming to achieve in order to be able to achieve the real Geula, B'mhira V'yomenu.
Very nice. Well, she doesn't mention that in the passage here. There's no mention of the Torah at all. So well,
correct, but I think that's what Harsinai represents. I think that's what Harsinai is all about. Harsinai, Eish, Moshe, all of those elements are what Torah is.
I don't know.